Get him.
Welcome, folks. Y'all come on in and make yourself at home. This here? Well, this is the Rolling Thunder Podcast, your home for all things Rolling Thunder. This episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast is presented by Mossy Oak Camouflage, because everything is better in Bottomland. And Lucky Duck Premium Decoys, masters of deception.
You know, here at Mossy Oak, our passion for turkey hunting has been in our blood for a long, long time. And that deep-seated passion watered the roots for our very first camouflage over 30 years ago. And that passion is still growing today with our National Wild Turkey Federation Obsession Pattern, which in our opinion is as close as you can get to disappearing in the spring woods. Mossy Oak Obsession, the official camouflage of the National Wild Turkey Federation.
Welcome to another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast.
Turn your mic in. Sorry. And do that again.
Welcome to another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast. In full disclosure, I've not hosted an episode in a minute, and I was not ready to dive right in. I apologize. I kind of got lost there in the intro, Rob.
Man.
Coming at you from Feathers Chapel tonight.
I feel attacked. Man.
We are, this is what, if there's a, like if there's a B team or, you know, the practice squad that's still sitting on the sidelines, that's basically what we're doing tonight.
Just waiting for them.
Because our boys are in Hawaii.
Just living it up.
Mashing their guts. Like, Pender's seen more die in the first 3 days of March than most red-blooded turkey hunter male
gonna
types
all.
Are going to see all season.
Golly. Well,
good
I mean, they,
gracious.
I mean, it's like walk off the plane, go straight out there.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of damage done in Hawaii on turkeys in the last few days. Ugh. Not just these guys.
Yeah.
There's been
a lot.
Can we what turkeys are out there?
Rios.
Rios. Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure if it was like some sort of like, yeah, it's a subspecies of whatever.
No. And they're not native there.
I didn't think so.
No, they're contrary to popular belief, they cannot fly that far. And they did not swim that far. So they were carried there, I assume on a plane, might have been on a boat, but it was one of those two for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
They were transplanted there by humans.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, I mean, I bet they'll know. I bet they'll have like a whole thing because they've gone into it and figured it out.
Who? Pender and Lovey?
Yeah, I bet you they've like dived way into it.
No, they were definitely transplanted there. I mean, there's and from what I understand, the population is thriving. I think the public stuff in Hawaii is getting pounded pretty hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the private ranches, there's cattle and there's like pasture ground. Yeah. There's tons of goats and a bunch of big game species. And so it's a, you know, it's quite a destination for lots of, you can go down there and shoot turkeys as well as kill a couple goats with your bow. And I mean, it's a pretty cool place to go from what I understand for a hunter, you know?
Yeah. And even though it might look really, really small in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, Hawaii is not that small.
I have no idea. I've not ever been.
Look at the landmass of Hawaii real quick.
I mean, from what I understand, the guys I know that are there and are hunting,
yeah,
they all say that the big island is one mountain. And so everybody's hunting on some side of that mountain, basically, is the way I understand it.
Got it.
And I couldn't – I mean, that's just what I'm repeating what I've been told, but I hadn't seen it. So I think that they're all on the big island. I think that's where Pender and Lovey both are.
But I mean – that's awesome. That would just be such a cool. Are you going to try to get there in the next few years?
I was going this year. It was a done deal. I was going. When COVID hit, Lindy and I never booked our plane tickets last fall.
Got it.
And so we kind of just drug our feet. And now, you know, they had a couple cancellations. I tried to squeeze it into this week.
Really?
But I had an appointment on Monday, and I've got an appointment on Friday, and I just couldn't pull it off. And Monday, this next Monday, the 8th, is Mississippi Youth Opener.
Yep.
So this was my 1 week. The first 7 days would have been my only chance to get it done.
To get over there.
before taking trip to Mississippi. So, anyways, I didn't make it. But
you got to go next year.
Oh, consider it done.
The done deal?
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of done deal,
yeah,
a lot of calls flying off the shelves these days. Ben said he went over to Bass Pro in Memphis, and it's like,
oh, don't tell me, picked over.
Oh, it's like empty.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. People are gonna have to do without, I guess, because we're struggling to just get them built. I mean,
well, that's a good problem.
It's a good problem, but man, you hate to
have people get there and not get them.
Yeah.
Well, holler at us.
Oh well. Speaking of, is that my phone?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I was trying to pull up. You said done deal. It made me think about
the sound file.
Yeah, this is classic call week, which means we're featuring our six classic calls.
Got it.
So we did yesterday's email campaign that came out was a little bio on Pinder, and then tonight we posted the sound file of the done deal.
Got it.
Which Pinder can, you know, blow the snot out of.
This is the done deal, and it is a three-read combo cut call. This is a call that you will always find on me every day in the spring turkey woods. I've used this call for several years now, and it's definitely one of my favorites. It's real poppy, real clear, crisp, concise cuts and yelps, and that's why I mostly like it.
Because this guy's a turkey, pro.
I feel I can hear it.
Poppy, clear, crisp? Who thinks of those kind of things?
These words, it's like, it's the same guys who name paint colors.
Soft too. I mostly like it for the loud, more aggressive cuts and stuff.
Let's listen to this
sport
call.
So it has a lot of variation in it just for being able to use for everyday turkey hunting all the time. So that's why it's one of my favorites.
Of course, the dog is going to bark.
That's awesome.
So without further ado, let's make the phone ring and call Pinder and Lovey. Distractions.
Yeah.
What is up?
Man, I was trying to – Hakuna Matata. No, that's not it.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Hakuna Matata.
I think, yeah, close. But not really that close, honestly.
Basically, we kicked off this episode like we were the practice squad that didn't get to travel with the varsity team, and we're sitting in the in the kitchen at Feathers Chapel.
We get to dress out for home games, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
You're living Lovey's high school career all over again.
Yeah, I was going to say, welcome to 4 years of high school for me.
Man, if you went, based on where you lived in high school, you must have really been a terrible football player, man. I figured,
yeah. There were like 80 people in our class.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean.
There are 13 guys on the team, and I didn't play a lot.
That's great. So you became
I have the ability to hold a dummy.
So you became a turkey hunter.
Yeah. I didn't have anything else to do, so I figured I'd learn how to yelp.
Oh, there man. You go. Well,
That's awesome.
We I don't know exactly how to describe the level of jealousy that we have right now.
Yeah. You just gotta start living right, man. I'm not lying. Yeah. I mean, this phone call is probably the hardest thing we've had to do all day. I mean, the turkey hunt was pretty strenuous. We had to walk at least 60 yards.
I think we walked about – I don't know if we walked 60 yards.
We did hear him while driving the rental. Like, the window was down. I'm like, Lovey, stop. I was like, okay. I'm pretty sure I heard turkey out the window.
Yeah, we're done. This up. We're done.
Forget about this, Rob.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Rolling Thunder.
This is ridiculous. All the flavors of the rainbow, and you choose salty. Golly.
I just got lucky.
Very lucky. And he definitely had a lot of goblin in his DNA. He Pinder yelped at him twice, and he come running down the gun barrel.
Yeah,
he gobbled once. He gobbled like 30 or 40 times just while we're trying to get our stuff out of the rental.
Yeah.
And I was like, this turkey is killing it. I mean, just every breath. I was like, he's got to be by himself.
I mean, were y'all, headed
hunting? It was one of those moments where you say, we should probably back the vehicle up because if he pops up over that knoll, he's going to see it. So he did. He did back it up, and it's a good thing, too, because he would have definitely seen it.
Oh my word. So were y'all on your way to go hunting, or was this like y'all were done hunting and you were going to do something else? Like,
this was actually a new place we had never hunted before on the other side of Mauna Kea on the mountain. We'd never been there before. I always kind of wanted to, which is always one of my favorite places to go, place I've never been.
Yeah, and Mauna Kea, there's a lot. I mean, if you look at the island, I mean, it's a giant piece of public land, and it lays all the way around 360 degrees around the mountain.
And the mountain's like 13,900 and some feet.
Yeah, there's snow on top of it, and then it's 85 degrees down the beach.
All right.
Wait.
So,
hold on. There's a few things you just said we need to unpack. The first is, do we need to delete the name of this place? Like, am I going to get hate mail and bombs from all
that? We let that cat out of the bag several years ago.
About 5 years ago.
And this is no joke. And not that we're taking credit for putting this place on the map or anything, because that's definitely not the case. But like 5 or 6 years ago when we first started coming here, we were us and like two other guys. You have to sign in every day, and it was like us and two or three other guys every day that signed in for like 13 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny. This morning we pull up there, and the first 3 days there's probably been 50 or 60 people signed in, and
it's been progressively more every year. There's a bunch of people in there now,
and I think that, like, obviously it's just grown with
which is awesome.
Yeah, no.
Because we all want more turkey hunters, you know?
And I think a lot of it's grown, too, just because, you know, the Chasing 49 is a real deal, and people are really getting into that. They want to check all their states off, and it provides an opportunity to come here, hunt public land, and do it. And so it's gained a lot of popularity just due to that.
That was very politically correct for two guys who've been mashing the guts out of Hawaiian turkey.
And I'm not a PC guy at all.
I hear you.
It's true. Or a Finn guy.
Yeah, I have heard that there were a lot of people there this year.
Yeah.
And y'all are confirming that, sounds like.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of guys there that, you know, pretty big name guys in the turkey industry, like hunters and stuff, that were signed in there today. Huh. And you know, just coming here in pursuit of trying to check this is hands down by far the hardest state to get.
Really?
Just not to actually kill the turkey, but it's the travel, it's getting here. Yeah. It's often someone's last state in the 49, you know.
Yeah, like, well, point.
But you gotta, especially now, you gotta, you know, test before you go, and then test as soon as you land, and like different regulations because of COVID.
Like a competency test, or a what kind of test?
If it was a literacy test, I wouldn't be here.
I think at the beginning of the song call, you would have failed, and said Hakuna Matata.
Yeah, I figured that if you're from Missouri, that you're like exempt from the test. Yeah. It's kind of like
there's like this sheet that says, "What is the traditional Hawaiian greeting?" And Spence is like,
"Hakuna Matata,
nailed it." Hakuna Matata.
When you're from Missouri, they just look at you and say, "It's okay, little buddy. You can come on." Yeah.
Mahali Kaliki Maka. When I said being from Missouri, like you were exempt, I didn't mean exempt like you were off the chart for literacy. I more meant exempt like when you don't make enough money so they don't have to take any income taxes out of your check. Like you're literally exempt from. I figured that, you know, like state of residence, Missouri.
It's like,
okay, next. You're
handicapping you.
That's funny. Basically, yeah, that could be accurate.
They're not laughing at us.
But yes, it has gained a lot of popularity, which is really cool. It's like definitely one of the most unique places that you could come and shoot a turkey. A lot of turkeys that you will shoot up on that public we're talking about would be like way above the clouds, as you've seen in a lot of pictures that people have posted. And it's kind of rugged terrain. I mean, everything's a volcano here. So you're walking on volcano everywhere you go. And a lot of it can be wide open, just flat black stuff, and then there's a lot of just chunky stuff that's hidden under a bunch of grass. So you got to have good boots to sprain your ankles.
So no flip. So y'all aren't hunting in flip flops.
Flip flops is that comes at about 9 or 10 a.m.
Yeah, you do not wear the same shoes hunting that you do to the beach.
Gosh,
but yeah,
so
and the hunting, it's gotten a little tougher. When we came here, 5 years ago for the first time, it was, honestly just loaded. But since it's gotten more popular, if you go up, and hunt, you'll come across one, and you'll probably kill one if you're a pretty good hunter. I'm confident in that. But you got to work for it a little bit. There's going to be some hiking, and it's some steep stuff, and it's rugged country. You'll find one eventually. We also guide while we're here, and our buddy that has a bunch of private land, Mikey with the Heli Outfitters, he's got property that's like loaded. So if someone wanted to come here and I've got 2 days because I'm on my honeymoon and my wife's not going to let me hunt more than 2 days, or my fiance or wife or girlfriend or whoever, then, he's going to get you a turkey in a day or two, for sure. So,
and the thing that's really cool about his ground too is that I think it's worth it if you come to try to go hunt the public, because it is different up there. It's lava, there's competition, it's public land, that kind of thing. But then it's just so much different hunting like Mikey's stuff down lower, because you're hunting like coffee farms and stuff like that. It's just so cool to see them doing their thing in a place that, it ain't like one strutting up a logging road in Tennessee or something like that. It's just a really cool dynamic when you see one come strutting through, a coffee farm or something like
macadamia
nut trees and stuff like that. Because it feels like you're in the rainforest, and it's a really neat dynamic.
Yeah, and he's got some cool places where it's like guys are like, man, I really want to book a hunt, but I really need to be back at the resort by like 8:30 at the latest, because my wife's going to kill me. It's like, oh, we'll be back by then for sure if you need to be. Like there's properties where, you can go kill your bird and you're back with the whole day with your family, basically. So that's a really cool dynamic to it.
Does Mikey have any ground around Destin, Florida?
I wish.
Gulf Shores?
We'll straight there after this.
Gosh. That's the only reason why we actually get to come over here, is because our wives like to come and hang out at the beach. And so we sell the beach dynamic to our wives with the underlying dynamic that we're just coming to Turkey.
Basically.
Y'all pretty well it's got amazing. It figured out. That's remarkable.
I think a lot of anybody that knows me now knows that I'm a huge advocate for coming here and turkey hunting. I think if you're a turkey hunter, you have to do it at least once because it's that cool. It is just that cool. There's just nothing like it. You can kill them in a lot of places, but this is very unique.
And you can kill three,
which is not two. Yeah.
Jeez.
How do you get those home?
We cook them while we're here.
Cutting them up right now.
That's awesome.
Okay. We ate turkey fajitas last night.
That's enough. It's one thing watch kill pictures and cell phone videos and all that. It's another thing to think about y'all eating wild turkey.
We were trying to strong arm you into coming.
I know.
You're supposed to be here.
I know. I told Rob that I was there. I kind of chickened out with, I just didn't think about booking the flight because of COVID and stuff last fall. And then I tried to make it work this week, but It just wouldn't, and I waited too late.
There's still a couple openings, so it's not too late. Just throwing that out there.
Ugh, that's the last thing I need to hear.
Man, I'm on spring break next week.
Yeah, man.
Maybe I should.
Hang on 1 second. Let me check the weather here for the next, 11 days. Oh, yeah, it's going to be perfect every day. Yeah,
sunny and 80. Sunny and 80.
You don't have to worry about the weather. Yeah.
10-day forecast.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be sunny and clear and about 65 degrees of daylight. All right, yeah, you can come.
Jeez, man. So
the first time I ever came here, I was wondering about it. I'm like, I didn't know what to pack. I don't know what the weather's gonna do. So I ended up calling Mikey, and that's the guy we hunted with the first time I ever came. And I was actually filming for a show, and he's like, there's weather here. Like, you don't have to look at the weather. It's the same every day all year. Gosh. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah,
that's so crazy.
Like, never. Yeah. It is crazy.
All right, so let's talk about today's turkey. So is it just the two of y'all hunting today?
Yeah. Yep. Just
And y'all killed today's turkey on public or private?
Public. On public, yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I took Savannah yesterday. Jeff and Bree just got in last night. I took Savannah yesterday, my wife.
Yeah, she got her one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I hiked her. I mean, we hiked round trip probably four and a half miles to get into where
Did you do that because she ate too much dessert Monday night, or because you were trying to like create some drama, you know, so that she would appreciate it, or because you needed to do that to, you know, to get on a turkey, or you don't want to answer?
Maybe I was just trying to impress her. You know, I'm like, hey, I still got it.
Yeah, maybe we should just talk here. More about today's hunt.
Yeah. I mean, basically what I've gathered about today's hunt is y'all are hunting public, and the turkey was gobbling so close to the truck that you had to move the truck so that you could get a good cell phone video without it looking like you shot it out the truck window. I mean,
fairly accurate. Yeah, we grabbed our gun, and basically the whole time we were getting out of the truck, we were looking at each other going, I don't know how we can't see him already.
It was the only one we heard.
That's like, true story.
You could probably hear a thousand
I'm sorry
acres
about that.
From the point we were at. It was the only turkey we heard.
Okay.
That is the true story. That is the only turkey we heard today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's fine. So let me just summarize the things I've heard. You could hear over 1,000 acres. You killed the only turkey you could hear. You were only there about 3.5 minutes.
Maybe four.
And he gobbled loud enough to hear him over the engine running.
And the wind.
And the wind
going down the road.
Jeez.
That is 100% accurate.
All right. That's congratulations. I'm not.
You know the deal. When it's their day, it's their day.
That's exactly right. Man.
It doesn't matter if you're in a Walmart parking lot.
It is so true. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to spend a lot of time in the woods. And when it's a turkey's day, it's his day and there is no stopping it.
That's right.
But let me tell you, when it's not his day, there's no stopping that either.
Hold on. I can think right off the top of my head of a few that I stopped last year. I mean.
No podcasting in
this yard. Mikey just pulled up in the range. There's no podcasting, Mikey.
No podcasting in this yard. We're being banned for podcasting.
Move along.
Move along. Hey,
tell Mikey I said Hakuna Matata.
He said Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
he's making fun of you right now, for sure. It is funny. We had I helped him guide a client on Monday, which is opening day, and he was from North Carolina. And everybody who's a proud Southerner that comes here and hunts, Mikey's always giving him a hard time. He's like, and this guy had a country accent. You know, he's from the mountains, like West North Carolina. And he always tells everybody, he's like, man, you got a really strong Northern accent, you know, because everything's north from here. Because, man,
just
you're
eats
Northern.
Him alive.
Super strong. Oh, yeah, it eats them. Anybody from Georgia, Louisiana, Alabama, it eats them
no
up.
I ain't no Yankee.
They're like, man, what are you talking about, man? I ain't got no Northern accent. It's like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you're way up north from here.
He's like, this is the South here.
That's kind of like Trey talking about white perch versus crappie, you know?
Basically.
Somebody commented on that video the other day on YouTube and said, yeah, boy, you're from Memphis, Tennessee. That's definitely Yankee land from down here in southern Mississippi. I was like, oh gosh, here we go.
Here we go. That guy's relentless. He didn't let it go. Mm-mm-mm. That's so funny.
So what's on tap? What's next? I mean, y'all, obviously, you've only hunted about 10 minutes. Are y'all planning on hunting longer tomorrow?
Not if we don't have to.
Oh, gosh. Twist my arm.
We'll hunt more than 10 minutes if we plan on killing more than one.
So in all seriousness, did y'all hunt this morning? Like, did you hunt off the roost and just didn't get on anything and then kill this bird later on in the morning? Or
on the roost. We got there way before daylight and parked the rental where we thought we needed to and just started walking down the fence line. And we walked maybe, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile, a mile.
Yeah, pretty good bit.
And I hadn't heard a turkey. We actually heard some across the road public. Couldn't hunt over there. We heard one gobble like twice. kept going down. I was like, well, maybe this is a bust. Maybe we're just not going to find one. So Lovey was like, I'll go back and get the rental. You just keep walking, and I'll just meet you wherever you are when I get back there. I hadn't heard another turkey the whole time, and it's 15, 20 minutes after fly down now, you know. It's like, well, we'll just leave and go up where we normally go and find a bird. And literally, he picked me up, put me in the rental. We turned around. We were leaving, had the windows down, and I heard a turkey gobble out the window. I'm like, you got to stop the vehicle. I just heard a turkey gobble for sure.
I think I heard him. Hold on.
For whatever reason, I guess it's turkey.
Hold on. This is my show. Y'all got to just stop for a second. So
I'm just telling the truth, man.
Fine. Hold on. I got a valid point to make here. Some of the new vehicles, when you come to a stop, the engine cuts off.
Yeah.
It's called the auto shut off.
Yep.
Like Lindy's car's got this. Like it's really annoying because every time you get to a stop sign or a stoplight, it just cuts off. This story is the reason that those cars, that feature was invented. Like you stop, the engine goes off. Like, okay, I did hear a turkey. Okay, all right, go ahead. I just wanted to validate.
You're not
going to
hear
engineer.
That over a diesel.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely would not have heard that turkey in Black Betty.
And this is where I want to cue the phrase, when it's their day, and there's no stopping it.
That's right.
So you turn the rental vehicle off and you shot the turkey.
Yeah, and we got our stuff. And we legitimately walked about probably 75 yards.
They sounded.
Tender yelped two times.
Yeah.
Yelped two times, and he walked right down the gun barrel. And I have to kind of tell on myself a little bit. It was the first one to see. I hadn't seen a turkey down my gun barrel since May of last year. And I mean, it was perfect killing range. He was 25 yards, you know, and he came in strutting and gobbling the whole way. And he probably would have walked out into the kind of the little road there and really put on a show.
But the boogie, you squeezed the trigger.
Yeah. I couldn't help myself. I was like, I got excited. And I was like, you know what? You got to scratch the itch now that I've got the edge knocked off. And
he might get the 24 yard.
Yeah, I'll let him get to like 24.
I was going
to
say, come on. I've heard it all. Don't.
Hey, 25 is like a perfect distance.
So. It is. It's the perfect killing range.
Oh, no doubt. I'm not disputing the 25 yards. I'm just saying, don't act like you're going to milk the footage and the camera's not rolling. I know you could and well.
Today was kind of a, hey, let's get the pregame jitters out.
Yeah, it's the tune-up day.
It was. That's right. It was. So tomorrow we're going to get the cameras out. We'll probably get the girls and let them shoot, and we'll see what we can get done tomorrow.
I love it.
Switch gears a bit.
So the question, the biggest question I got at this point in the story is, did y'all just go eat breakfast together, or did y'all wake the girls up, or like what do you do when you shoot a turkey that early on vacation? What do you do next? I don't have to
wake my wife up here. She's up early, like swimsuit on, ready to go to the beach at like 6:30. Like she is ready to go. If she's not hunting with me, she's ready to go. Like she loves, I like the beach for like 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah. You and me.
And then
both.
I'm like, all right, now.
Yeah. I love the beach.
If you ever are looking for me at the beach, start by looking under the shade trees. That's where you'll find me. Yeah. Under the shade.
Yeah. No doubt.
Man, you'll be the big white belt. Yeah.
I will be.
You don't have to get her motivated. She's on fire the whole time. So Bree's about the same way.
Yeah, we honestly, after we shot that one, we went back up there kind of to the main part of the public, and we just wanted to look around, see how many people had come in and who killed what, you know, if anybody had done any good today. And
met a guy from Iowa.
Yeah, there was a guy. Hey, funny story. It's especially kind of funny with COVID and everything, and I don't know how you said I was PC earlier, so this is probably going to fall way off the PC wagon.
I'm here but for it.
Yeah, I love it.
There's a guy from Iowa up there, and he pulls up. He's a super nice dude, and he's talking. We're asking if we've done any good and this and that. And he's like, man, I got to be honest with you. He's like, I haven't had any luck turkey hunting. He said, I'm trying to hunt with a bow. And he said, I left Iowa, and I left all of my mouse calls. He said, do you guys have any mouse calls that you would sell me? And this is no lie. Pender looks at him. He said, I got 3 used ones.
And he's like, I'll give you $20 for one. I'm like, nah, really? For a used one? Luckily, Lovey had you had a done deal or something. You hadn't used.
Yeah, I gave him a money maker.
Oh, okay.
And
poor guy though.
Yeah, he's happy.
Like, he's like, well, I found one sporting goods here on the island. And he had one plate calling.
I got this crummy old bat wing. I don't really like.
Yeah. Exactly. You probably won't like it, but I mean, hey, the price is right.
The closest right. Bass Pro is like 1,000 miles up through the water through that ocean.
Yeah, you're gonna have to fly to San Diego to get to the next Bass Pro.
Can you imagine? He's just like, yeah, $400.
Jeez. Well, I mean, yeah. I can't imagine coming. I mean, with all due respect to this fine gentleman who came to Hawaii with a bow, I can't imagine going to Hawaii with a bow. I mean,
I don't know. After we left, that's what I told Pender. I said, you know, I was happy to give him a mouth call, but what he really should have been asking for was a retake shot.
That's right.
He was like, hey, so about that gun back there, you guys think I could use that for an hour or two?
I'd happily give it to him for a day.
Yeah,
those guns do shoot good, dude. It's awesome though. Like you have to come, man. I know I've told you that now for like 5 straight years, but you've got to do it at least once. Bring the whole family. Nothing like it. Amazing.
Trip wouldn't like it at all.
If I brought the whole family, we could kill 9 turkeys between my hunters.
Yeah, Trip might. He might just stay here. You might not get Trip to leave.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
Well, it's hard to lose him. He's not getting off the island.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like a big fence.
How big is the big island? Like,
I don't know. Pretty big.
When you look at it on Google Maps, you're like, oh, it's not very big. But then when you get here, you're like, and start driving around.
Yeah, it's from where we stay to the public is over an hour drive.
So there's basically like a road that goes all the way around the island.
Like
and
a circle?
When you come out of the, what's that?
Is it basically a circle?
Yeah, pretty much. So when you pull out of the airport,
I'm sorry. I just looked over at Spence like, what do you think?
I was envisioning like the top third of a traffic cone.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, with turkeys
all over it.
It's something like that.
You need to make that into a t-shirt.
We going clockwise or counterclockwise around the island today? Let's go over the top.
Shortcut.
Okay, so anyways, when you leave the island,
Well, when you leave the airport and, like, you're driving up through here, when you get to the main road, I'm pretty sure if you take a right, it says 120 miles to Hilo, and if you go to the left, it's, like, 90 miles to Hilo. Could be kilometers. I don't know how they measure things over here.
I think it's miles.
I think it is miles.
It is an American state, guys. I mean, we won that war. They tried to take it from us, but it's still ours.
That's right.
Not today.
So, and where is Hilo from the airport? Like, is it on the opposite side of the island? Give me a...
Hilo is on... Yeah, it's on the northeast side. Everything on the Hilo side is all rainforest. It rains every day. There's a bunch of waterfalls over there. We just did a hike a couple days ago over there with a giant, long waterfall in this huge valley. I'll have to send you videos of it later. It's amazing. But everything over there is like super wet, giant trees, rain. It's rainforest.
Yeah.
So everything on the north or on the southwest side, where like kind of where we stay around Captain Cook, it's a way drier. A lot of coffee. They grow coffee like at a certain elevation. It's like, I'm going to butcher this. for sure. Don't even try. But it's like 1,200 to 1,800 in elevation is like where they grow the coffee. It's like coffee belt, they call it.
Isn't that low? It's like, 1,200 feet of elevation, isn't that?
Yeah. Yeah, fairly low. Yeah.
Okay.
But that is where the climate is.
Smith, I know you love some coffee from like the first time you open your eyes in the morning until you go to bed at night. And the coffee here is top shelf.
Almost as good as Nagua coffee. Y'all got, not quite. But
they got Pilot gas stations in Naguama.
They ain't got no Naguama.
Naguama.
Pender, I was a little worried about you. They have a Buc-ee's over there for y'all?
Oh, man, I don't even say it, man. I miss Buc-ee's so bad. I do have a Buc-ee's Hawaiian shirt.
No, I'm actually really glad there's not a Buc-ee's here because we'd go there every morning. I'd be like, dude, we've got to go.
That's the only place let's y'all try- to eat. You go all the way to Hawaii and eat at Buc-ee's, let's get one of those rolling hot dogs.
Brisket on the board. I'll say,
Buc-ee's brisket is really good.
Not everything in there is top notch. Really let's start good. A petition right now for a Buc-ee's to be built here on the Big Island. Mm. Or everywhere. I want them to be one, like at least one in all 50 states.
So the Big Island?
I will not completely content in my life until that happens.
There is a Costco here that Pender has discovered. And we have somewhere between 300 and 500 tortilla shells.
Hey, it's a lot of turkey fajitas. You got to cook that turkey up.
Do y'all, after you shoot a turkey early, have y'all gone to, like, do the samples at Costco? Like, have y'all tried doing one of those, you know, poor man meals where you just go through and try everything in the freezer section that they're cooking?
I'm a brand new Costco guy. Like, I became a member when I flew in here.
Man, welcome.
So, I'm not aware of this. That sounds awesome.
I don't have a category.
You go
that. With
you guys, like, samples?
Oh, they don't do – hey, so if he's never been during COVID, they're not doing
Have
samples.
You ever been to a Sam's Club?
Like two times ever.
Oh, my gosh. You guys really are
grew up pretty boogin', okay? We had dollars.
We grew up in a town of 1,800 people.
Our grocery store is like 2,000 square feet, and we had a Dollar General, and that's about it.
That was us, man. Still is.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I grew up – in Fraser, I didn't grow up rural. I was gonna make something up, but so I'm really mind blown right now, trying to kind of collect myself here. But so Sam's Club, and Costco, you know, they're like the big, you know, you can buy stuff in bulk, right? All right,
yeah.
So pre-COVID, probably I don't know. It's probably I don't know how many years ago, but you could go into Sam's Club or Costco. Most Sam's Club kind of wrote the book on this, but you could go in Sam's Club and every aisle in the freezer section would have a senior citizen on both ends of it serving samples of something that they had to eat in the freezer aisle. So you could literally go in there and for free, you could eat like 74 pizza, you know, like what do they call it?
Little pizza rolls or whatever.
Yeah. Or like a third of a egg roll. On the next aisle.
Like all on toothpicks?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
All on toothpicks.
When there was always some lady, too, that would always, like, she would, like, cut the tortilla into thirds instead of half, and you're kind of looking at her like, are you a monster?
Yeah, and so.
I want half tortillas here.
Yeah, you could, if you were lucky, if you were lucky, three or four of the 10 people serving the samples would not have a great memory, and if you just kind of went down each aisle, like by the time you got to the end, if you went and started over again, you could end up getting two or three samples from every person before they realized that you were making the same loop.
Yeah.
So like when we were in college and stuff, that was kind of, you know, somebody would find somebody whose dad had a Costco card or a Sam's Club card for work, you know, and you just ease in there about 11 o'clock when they first started firing up the old, you know, electric skillets,
the little crock pots, and all that stuff.
On one aisle, you get like a meatball on a toothpick, and on the next aisle, you get a half an egg roll, and the next aisle, you get a corn nugget, and then
and you get back there and you like swap shirts with your buddy so you can go in.
So then,
by the time you've made all your laps, you've like burned more calories than you've actually consumed.
Yeah, so you earned it. Yeah.
But the thing is, at the front, they always had a little like a concession stand thing that you could eat at, and you could get a slice of pizza that I promise you is the size of two personal pan pizzas from Pizza Hut.
As big as your head.
Like $1.09.
And a Coke.
Could get a, yeah, like, and you could get a 16-inch hot log and a hot dog. Log. And a Hakuna Matata.
I was like,
Hakuna Matata.
But seriously, they had a combo meal that was a piece of pizza, a hot dog, and a drink, and it was like $2.59.
And a churro.
Yeah, and a churro for another 99 cents. So you could go in Sam's Club.
You have
Club.
To add the churro.
Yeah, could go in Sam's Club. You could hit all the sample aisles for your appetizers, and then you could ease to the front and have a hot dog and a piece of pizza.
So you can go to Costco, buy a car, a blender, salsa, spinach artichoke dip, and wash it down with a slice of pizza as big as your face. Why else do you go anywhere else?
And you spent $27.
Right.
It sounds like a good day.
So I think we have
It's important that
we've let the beagles loose.
Yeah, they're loose.
I was wondering, what just happened? Who let the dogs out?
Oh, like, man. So the girls are on the gun tomorrow, huh?
That's right. The girls are up tomorrow.
Well.
So, it'll be good. They'll be up to bat, and then
I'll be on the camera. Love to be on the guiding, and the girls will be on the gun. You know, switch gears a little bit.
That's awesome.
So, all right, shameless plug here for just a second. I need y'all to kind of tell me about the other day y'all were at the shop as you were leaving. We filmed the rest of the Chasing Spring interviews, and y'all got a whole pile of welfare calls.
And, those are my favorite.
Dad.
I've been getting text messages.
Dad popped our trucks off the gas before we went back home.
I've been getting constant text messages from y'all. Give me some real feedback on. I know one of the gray ones was pretty smoking, but talk to me about what'd you like.
This is exactly what I told Lovey the other day. I was like, because I used to do some competition calling way back in the day. Thought I was pretty good, but I really wasn't that good. But I know Josh and J.R. Lanham and all those guys. I used to call with them all over the country, all the time, way back in the day. Lovey actually called me some contests, too. And then I got out of it years and years and years ago. But I've always stayed buddies with all those guys. Kind of when you're in that group, you still know everybody, and you see them at NWTF every year. It's fun. And JR told me for years, he's like, man, he's like, you need to get back into competition calling. You've got to do it. He's like, I'm telling you, get Josh Grossenbacher to make your calls, and you'll sound better than you've ever sounded. I promise you. He's told me that for years. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. I just never have done it. Well, I got some from you the other day, and then I ran them in my – I had about, you know, 2-3 hour drive home from your shop. And I'm like, dang it, JR wasn't right, man. I should have had these calls years. He's phenomenal. He is a really good call. I think they're amazing.
I would agree with that. And, you know, since I sent you some videos of just myself calling in the house, I'm nowhere near the level of competition caller what these guys are, you know, JR and Hunter Wallace and Josh and those guys. And but what they've been able to do with the entire line, you know, I know they have their kind of signature calls, but they've taken even, you know, kind of the
classic
the money
six.
Maker, kind of the, yeah, the traditional line.
You can say the old guard sounded like guard. I mean, you can. It's okay. It's okay.
We still like
the OG.
Yeah.
But they've taken the moneymaker and the done deal and made them better. Mm-hmm. And I feel like top to bottom, you know, with JR's and Josh's and Hunter's and Kevin's, everybody, and even the classic line is the best Yelpers that I've used myself. And I've played with a bunch of them.
Yeah, I used to be the guy, well, Lovey and I both, really, for about 8-10 years in a row, NWTF. I would go by every booth and buy a couple. I would ask them, like, what's your two favorite calls? And they would tell me, and I'd buy them.
Yeah.
The very next booth, I do the same thing. I did that for years and years and years. I run just hundreds of them. I still have a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. I've still got, like, probably 200 mouse calls at my house, just random ones. I never even put my – or maybe use once or twice. Like them.
When I met y'all – so I was telling somebody the other day, I think it was Adam Davis at the shop, asked me, how did I meet y'all? And I was like, well – I think the first time that I met you guys was in 2012, or it was the fall of 11. Womack brought Lee and Tiff the winter of 2011. And when did you get married?
I'll never forget that trip. Yeah.
Didn't you get married like the fall of 11, or was it the fall of 12?
Summer of 12. Summer. We got married.
Okay. So then it was the fall of 12 that y'all came and hunted, because Lovey'd been married like 2 or 3 months. I mean, like, not long at all.
I already know where this is going.
No, I'm not going to tell that story, Lovey.
Oh, you're not going to tell the Charles story. I thought you were going to tell the Charles story.
Oh, well, I mean, we could tell the Charles story. That's not the story I thought we were going to tell. But anyways, I wasn't going to tell either of those stories. I was just trying to get a framework for the reference. what I was going to say was
what is fed in the duck hole stays.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that I remember that next spring would have been 13, and then the spring after that, spring of 14, was the first year that we exhibited at NWTF. Well, in 13, yeah. I remember Pender bought a sack of mouth calls that looked like Santa's big sack that he, you know, comes down the chimney with. I mean, he had more mouth calls in that sack.
Just walking that around in WTF and just dumping them in there.
But he, that's not like an abnormality. Like, that's what people do at NWTF.
Sure.
There's turkey call nerds that just go through, and they come by my booth every year, and they're like, what's your top 2 or 3 mouth calls? And they just tell them. They don't even just rake them into their
bag. Have you ever, changed it up? When people are like, what's your top 3? And just see.
No. Those guys want an honest answer. I mean, yeah. they want.
Yeah.
You don't give those guys your bottom 3. I mean, you just want to share. But, I mean, it's one of those. It's like kind of a part of the turkey call culture. And it's kind of it's one of the things, really, honestly, I think I can say this without it sounded like I'm a homer, although I am a homer. It's one of the things that sets Josh apart is guys who know. Guys like JR, guys that have blown Josh's yelpers for years, will say once you start using one of Josh's yelpers, you don't go and buy 50 of them anymore, because if you buy 10 from Josh, 9.5 or 10 of the 10 are going to be winners. And most other call makers, you'll buy 50 of their calls and maybe, what, 8, 7, 8, 9, if you're lucky, 10 of them will be really jam up, and then 20 of them will be like A minuses.
Yeah.
And then,
to my point, that's why I was saying in my office at my house, I still have for sure over 200 mouth calls that I bought that I never even really used. I was like, I just really don't like that one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
And that's the way Womack introduced me to yelpers and y'all to yelpers. Like, he had some guys that made good yelpers, but he'd order 20 of them. And he would tell you, like, you need to get 20 of them, because 4 of them will be really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's 100% right, because I've ordered those same yelpers, you know, in the past. And you needed to, you know, now those 4 that you got, they were strong.
They jam up.
But, yeah, but you had to weed through them to get the right ones. And, you know, I don't think it's any mystery at all that, I mean, you know, when we were at the shop, that Josh's calls were just, you know, they're just in a bin.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, before they're packaged and going out, you know, in box stores or online orders or whatever. And we just, you know, Pender and I both just grabbed a couple to test out which ones we liked. And
the whole way home, I was trying to figure out which one I liked the most.
Yeah, you don't just reach into a bin and be like, oh, well, we just both got really, really lucky and grabbed all good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, every one of them solid.
They did. It's both amazing. Of them, awesome. Both of them texted me on the way home and were like, every call I've blown has been solid. Like, not just solid, the best yelper I've blown in a couple of years.
That's awesome.
That's the fact.
I mean, actually, I'm going to tell one more because this is kind of funny. So with the whole kind of turkey team that we've put together,
yeah,
you know, Josh has got his signature line and Kevin's got his signature line and JR's got his three favorites and Hunter's got his favorites and Terrence got a pot call. So I told Pender and Lovey, like, on the front end, listen, I kind of need y'all to rep the Classic Six because they're not getting any attention.
Sure.
You know, can y'all – and Pender's always kind of been a big fan of the Done Deal. And yep. Back
– And the moon.
He's always got that call right. Hanging out of his mouth like Steph Curry.
He does. It's like his mouthpiece.
It's like he shoots a turkey and holds up the three fingers and just kind of backpedals to the car.
Well, I always have it in. Like, you never know when you might need it. I put it in, like, as soon as I get out of the truck in the morning, and I don't take it out until we leave. We're done.
So that's awesome. So I get a text message Saturday night, like 7 o'clock, from Lovey that goes, .. This is one bad mama jamma.
That's verbatim too.
I just literally read it out loud, and he said, can we talk about figuring out how to get the tape on this to look like one of the Classic Six? Because he goes, this is the best call I've ever blown. It's Josh's combo cut. And then Pender's response is, I'm pretty sure I sound better on this call than I've ever sounded on any turkey call ever in my life.
That's like, the truth, man.
It's word for word what it says.
I couldn't put it down. I got the word out before I made it to Hawaii.
That is verbatim what I text you. And I honestly, whenever I blew it the first time, like my eyebrows kind of raised and my eyes got big, and I put it right back in my pouch. And I set my calls in an order in my pouch, like, this is the first call. The front one is the first call I pull out in the morning. Like, that's the... You know, and if that's not what they want to hear, then I grab a different one to change tones or whatever. And that one immediately went to the front of the line. and it will, it's going to be there because there's not many calls that you just grab and you put in your mouth for the first time that perform like that.
So the next text message said, by the way, I only grabbed one of these from the shop. Hey, Dad, any chance you can bring one of these to South Georgia with you to the hunt? Pender said, yeah, I need one too, Dad.
By one, we mean like eight.
Yeah, it's going to be a long spring. I'm going to need a few.
You know, it's really funny. Like, he's not trying to deviate from what we're talking about, but it is a long spring. And what it was funny this morning, Pender and I were riding, and we were talking about, well, where do we want to go? And what should we go to the public and this and that? And we were kind of talking and laughing. And it's funny how you kind of, I mean, you don't lose that excitement because it was the first time I'd got to hunt since May, turkeys. But I told him, I said, look, man, we're going to probably wrap the season up sometime late May in Nebraska or Wyoming or South Dakota or Montana. It's a long time between now and then. So we don't have to get in no big hurry. So wherever you want to go today is great with me. And it was just funny because you know how those things are. And it is, you know, normally we would just be going at it like we're with our hair on fire, but kind of things have changed a little bit, I guess. We're so mature in our older age now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty jealous, and I'm glad y'all are mashing their guts because, I mean, there's a pretty short list of people that are not me that I'm okay with killing turkeys, and y'all are on that list as long as there's nothing in the continental United States open. Right? So,
here's one thing that I don't know how much time we got, but
we have as much time as you want.
Yeah, I'm not paying you by the hour in case you forgot. You're definitely not getting paid by the hour.
Well, what I wanted to throw out just quickly is that because you're not here, but our new Chasing Spring films have been releasing about what every 4 or 5 days here for the last couple. And I know you know everybody's been watching them, and that we've been getting good response and good feedback. And the bulk of these first episodes have been down with the Jeb guys in Georgia. And I know that hunt is coming up here in about 2 weeks or three, something like that. And that's one of those places that you put a star beside, you highlight, whatever you want to call it. But it's going to be so much because I mean, you'll be there with us, and those guys down there are, I mean, their hunting's phenomenal. That you can't say enough about their hunting. But they're just some of our most favorite people to be around.
The camp life. They are a hoot.
They're so funny. They are a hoot. And I don't know if that, I mean, that's as mildly as you could ever put it. But just incredible people. And on top of that, you know, just a ball. It's so much fun to be around.
Yeah.
From the time you pull in and get out of the truck, it's just like hunting with buddies and hunting with friends. And yeah, we all do business together or whatever, but there's zero pressure and nothing but fun.
I definitely look forward to that. Can't wait to get there again.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Bobby this morning, and Pender, have you told Lovey what the scouting report in Georgia looked like? Because
I did.
Okay, don't say anything else. Because we don't need you to jinx this.
Okay.
I think there's a few 2 year olds.
I actually talked to them like right after Trey told me.
I
was that excited.
Yeah,
that's all I'll say.
The scouting report I'm hearing is it's better than last year,
which on one hand I have to admit is really hard to believe because when you travel as much as we travel and you talk to as many people as we do, people all tell you, "Oh, we got them. Oh, they're thick. We're gonna wear them out." Well, I've never been to a place that lived up to the hype like Jeb's did. I mean, because Trey was like, "Yeah, we're gonna do good. We're gonna kill a few," and it was like, these turkeys, you."
And then we did.
These suckers made. I mean, I've never had an episode where I yelped up two turkeys and somebody commented in the threads, "Oh, that yelping sounds great." I'm like, not really. It was kind of flat. I'm not very good at it. But, you know, he came in on you're right. He definitely reacted.
But it worked.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, anyways, if it's as good as it was last year, that'll be mind blowing. And Trey swears it's going to be better. So we'll see. Yeah, good Lord willing, the creek doesn't rise. We'll be there. It's hard to believe that's 3 weeks away.
That's our creek be hurting either way. All the laughing, smiling.
Oh my goodness!
The what?
All the laughing. Like I met Trey up at Mallard Estates earlier this year. I was hurting.
Oh gosh!
He's so quick too. Like anything you say, he can turn it into something. He's like,
we need to get Trey.
Got to be on your A game.
We need to get Trey to sing on the next podcast that we have him on. People don't realize.
Yeah, you are definitely not going to get anything past Trey, and he's super quick witted. Just a funny dude, a super fun guy to be around. And what's crazy is he's that funny, sober.
Oh yeah. Well, oh me. Well,
yep.
I guess we probably need to wrap it up. We've pretty much beat the hide off of this episode. We're over here hanging our heads in a state of depression because I know that y'all are. It's like, what is it? 4:30 in the afternoon there?
5:30 or something?
5:23.
5:20.
Gee. They just got off work.
Yeah.
Gosh. The whole day ahead of you.
That's right.
Hey.
Got to cut more turkey breath. I got a lot more to cut up.
Yeah, we got a little frying.
Yeah. So tough. Y'all got work to do. I will tell you that this morning I drove to town and there were 5 strutters and about 10 jakes
around the corner from the house.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
They're not impressed. I texted every person I knew. And I was so excited this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't text y'all because I knew you were asleep. And
you didn't know what they were going to text back.
I knew what they were going to text back. The first text I got from this morning was this: "Hey, do you mind if we post this on the Instagram story?" Sure.
It was so much fun.
That's good. I am glad y'all knocked awesome the dust spring off like that.
Fun spring. Very much look forward to it.
Good. Well, guys, yep. I hope y'all have a really safe trip and return home safely and soon. We got turkeys up here to kill.
That's right. Keep an eye on them for us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's good talking to y'all.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Yeah, man, I know we probably won't see you before, but we'll definitely see you here in a couple of weeks down in southern Georgia. Yep. And we'll get the whole band together.
Good, man. All right, we'll give Bree and Savannah a big hug for me. Tell them Hakuna
sure will
Matata.
Yeah, Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata. And, be watching your Instagram for the latest and greatest.
We'll do it.
All right, y'all be good.
Good talk stay with after y'all.
All right. See you, buddy. See you guys.
Bye. See you.
All right. Rob, I'm not usually one that's just like, ho-hum, poor me, because I get to do a lot of stuff. But
tonight.
I'm feeling pretty dejected. I'm not even going to lie.
A little bit.
Like, I can hear everybody giggling in the background. And they're like,
did you hear the ocean back in there, too, a little bit?
I mean, I could imagine it. That's what I was. More than the ocean, I was just thinking about the grease is getting hot. They're about to fry some turkey. I mean, gosh almighty, I wish I was down there. Man. I'm just about getting the duck boat in Venice, Louisiana tomorrow and start driving that direction. Go around the Yucatan Peninsula.
Panama Canal.
Golly.
Be a heck of a trip.
Mm-mm-mm. Well.
So they say that the goblin turkey is the antidote to waterfowl. But that's the worst thing I could have heard tonight.
No kidding. With you. Them boys don't even duck hunt. I mean, they don't need any antidotes in their life.
I know. It sounds like they're having a good time. And, man, Savannah's already got one. Pender's got a few. Lovey got one this morning.
I mean,
I bet Bree and Savannah both get one tomorrow.
They probably do. Although
it's not a guarantee, but it's.
But although they're not big on, they don't just mash big groups of them. So they'll probably have one of them on the gun and then swap and let the other one shoot. And,
yeah.
You know, they're professionals. Pender will probably make it last few days and stretch it out. And
I love it.
So the question for you is, are you going next spring? You and Liz going next spring when me and Lindy go?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's not going to be hard to sell.
Are you this just
is
saying
like,
that
this will be like spring break for Liz.
You saying that because you don't think Liz will listen this long or because you think you can actually get away with that next spring?
I mean, if she's going, it's not much to get away with. But we'll see. I guess we'll have a 6-month-old, and we'll have just gone through waterfowl season. So we might have to check the temp on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's for work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to work.
Babe, I have to go.
Just providing.
Yeah.
Just putting.
I guess we haven't talked about that yet.
Just bringing home the bacon. Mama just doing my job.
Yeah, making the move.
Make the big announcement.
I guess so.
Let everybody know.
Well, no, I'm just excited because starting in June, I'm going to be joining y'all full time, whatever that looks like. I'm really excited.
I think it's going to look like, at the office, I think it's going to look like a combination between like Animal House and Revenge of the Nerds and maybe like The Matrix or something like that.
A little bit. It's a
combination of all that.
I'm excited. It's crazy how, I don't know, how it's all come together from, honestly, first picking up a camera
I don't know. Yeah, it ain't been long.
No, I mean, the first time I picked up a camera to try to take pictures on purpose was, you know, 2 falls ago to just kind of hanging around, and then next thing you know,
yeah, well,
it kind of comes together.
I'll take you on further. I think I know where our new office is going to be. We're moving into a little bigger office with a full studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have to offline that, and a couple episodes from now, hopefully we can tell the world where.
Kind of release it a little bit.
Yeah. Got some big things cooking.
Better days ahead.
Yes, for sure.
I am fired up.
But, yeah. So, I really, it's going to be some combination of The Matrix and Animal House. I'd say that's what it's going to be like. Yeah. It's going to be basically like a nerdy fraternity, I think. So, it's going to be fun.
Man, I'm really looking forward to it, and we'll just see where it goes.
Yep.
So.
Awesome.
With that said, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Rolling Thunder Podcast.
Yep. Hope you guys have a great spring. Talk to you soon.
See you on the next one.